Emily Liddell.
And I'm Kyle Cacciadorian.
And you're listening to another episode of The Accessible Stall. What are we going to talk about today, Kyle?
You stole my line. Before we get to the topic at hand, I just need to talk about Speechless. Spoilers for Speechless. We're recording this on October 25th, so that means the Halloween episode of Speechless just aired. And it was the stupidest thing I've ever seen. I just need a minute.
I haven't seen it yet, so go ahead and ruin it for me.
Do you care about spoilers? And by the way, if you care about spoilers, stop listening about right now and just fast forward about 5 minutes.
We're going to talk about this thing that I haven't seen for 5 minutes?
No, I just...
I feel excluded.
Okay, but don't worry, because you're missing nothing. In fact, it's probably better if you don't see it. The first 5 minutes of the show... First of all, they made one funny joke. The first 5 minutes of the show is a parody of The Exorcist. Have you seen The Exorcist?
Have I seen a scary movie? Evaluate that question.
Okay, so you haven't seen The Exorcist, but do you know what it's about?
Exorcism.
Okay, so you don't know what it's about. Okay, it is about an exorcism. It's about a girl who's possessed by the devil, okay? Long and short of it, that's a one-sentence version.
I could not make it through 5 minutes of The Ring.
The Ring, whatever. So anyway, so they parody The Exorcist by making it so that JJ, the main character in Speechless, loses his board, so his board that he uses to communicate with. You all watch Speechless. And then...
What if somebody board, doesn't? Do we really think that every person in the disability community watches Speechless?
They've at least heard of it and know about the premise of the show. So the main character's communication board is replaced with a Ouija board, which makes every word his interpreter speak as if he's possessed by the devil. Now, that's not dumb enough, and boy, is it. Okay. The JJ, the main character, now he's possessed by this Ouija board devil. So he's evil now. Okay? So he does evil things, like he throws his physical therapist out of a window with his mind, and he tells Kenneth that he's fat and ugly and stuff. And that's dumb. But what's really just inexcusably stupid, I should speak right if I'm going to criticize something, is that the devil, Satan, has a moment of clarity while being Satan about how his eyes are now open to the struggles of the disability community. Are you f***ing kidding me?
Well, that is not how that works.
And his mother, and this is one of the two funny parts. I know I said one, but this, thinking back, this was kind of funny. His mother, being the overprotective special needs mom that she is, finds his newfound devilish independence invigorating. So she's actually like all for this because the devil is a loud, smart mouth talking person like she is. So he starts to run away in his wheelchair, and they notice that the school is too accessible. And the principal, he hears this because the principal's also the exorcist. Because, of course, and he's like, haha, you're welcome, as in, like, of course the school's accessible. So then the family, like, tries to make the school unaccessible, like, and that's funny, because that's, like, the opposite of life. But then, oh, it was so stupid. They do the two famous scenes from The Exorcist, and then it was all a dream. And then the next 5 minutes was Freaky Friday between the other two kids no one cares about. So the younger brother and the younger sister swap bodies. And the other funny joke I mentioned was when Ray talks to his dad, he goes, Dad, what if I was born in the wrong body? And he says, oh, man, you know, I don't know enough about that subject to answer that question, but just know that that your mother and I will love you no matter what. And then he goes, thanks, Dad. And then the dad goes, honey, I think I'm woke. And I thought that was really funny. But that does not excuse the other 15 minutes of this stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life.
So, this was Speechless according to Kyle. Nobody needs to watch the Halloween episode now.
No, you should all watch it because it's ridiculous.
Didn't you tell people not to watch it because it was terrible?
It's so stupid. You should definitely watch it. Or not.
Well, I suppose then that this is an excellent segue into the actual thing that we were going to talk about today, because you said the word stupid. God. so many times in that rant, and guaranteed someone is going to clap back at you for that as ableist language. And
I disagree with you.
Well, we're going to talk about why.
So this episode is on language. We've been meaning to do this episode since we've started the show, quite frankly. Emily and I touch on language on pretty much every episode. The most recent episode I can remember where we touched on it was the R word with Ellen Seidman as our guest. And, you know, we got a little heat for it there, but it's time we do a proper episode on it.
Yeah.
And this is hard to do in 45 minutes, but we want to try to talk about the full spectrum of disability in the English language, all the way from innocuous words that can be deemed ableist by people who believe that, like stupid and idiot, all the way to colloquialisms that everyone uses that have disability in them that may or may not be ableist to you, but it's more to me to point out the prevalence of disability in our language. And so, yeah, that's what we're doing.
So I think that this conversation is particularly important to us because we are passionate about language in general. I was an English major. Kyle was a linguistics major. We love talking about language. We love analyzing language. We love picking it apart. We like talking about connotations and denotations, and we tend to get wrapped up in how disability and language are so inextricably linked. And I don't necessarily mean just the two of us. I think that the disability community as a whole often gets very hung up on language choice, and sometimes with good reason. Sometimes I think it's a little overkill. So we are finally gonna talk about it thoroughly, as opposed to just sort of peppering it into pretty much every episode. So I guess let's start with stupid. I mean, I'd be lying if I said that I didn't call things stupid and dumb all the time. And I call people idiots probably more than I should. And I also, although I'm getting better about this, use words like that's crazy or that's insane. And I actually, now that I think about it, are those on different levels? Like, is stupid as much of an insult or a slur as saying something like crazy or insane?
Well, maybe. I think for, just to make this easier on ourselves, we should just treat all words that could potentially be offensive in this episode as the same. I mean, surely there's some that are much worse than others, but just so that we don't spend the whole episode getting into what's worse, you know? But I think for things like stupid and idiot and things like that, you know, those used to have medical meetings that were tied to IQ, along with, I think, moron and imbecile were the other two notches on that little ladder.
Yeah.
And over the years, they have lost that. And I am all for recognizing a word that you use and its history and how it got to be where it is. Having said that, in the year 2017, the word stupid is no longer tied to cognizance.
Right.
And when I if you think stupid, it is, I you don't are
envision.
Yeah, no, I know. Like, I know. Yeah, surely not.
I'm not, when I'm calling somebody stupid or something stupid, it's not me saying that I'm passing a judgment on your cognition or mental health.
Right. The other thing is that is the argument that people use when they say, oh, you shouldn't say stupid because it once meant something bad. And that's true. It did used to mean something that is today objectively wrong, but it no longer means that. And if you're going to judge words by what they used to mean, then you're going to find yourself with an extremely limited vocabulary. There's very few words that have a pretty history. I'm serious. Take your favorite word for something, especially adjectives. Oh my god. Take your favorite adjective and go to Etymology Online and look it up, and you, at the end of your 10-hour journey, will not have any words left to say.
Are we sure about this? What about, like, I think, beautiful?
Okay, maybe. But things like blacken used to come from the Latin word to brighten. Like, so, yeah, words take a trip, right? And they sometimes literally mean opposing things.
So I don't even think so much that it's an ugly history that we're talking about, more so that words evolve over time. And sometimes they have a quote-unquote horrible, awful, dark history, but other times I think it's just that they come to mean different things by way of linguistic evolution that has nothing to do with them having a positive or negative history. It's just that language changes.
You are absolutely correct. And one of a good example of it is a word you just said, and it's got nothing to do with disability, but you just said the word awful. The word awful and awesome are synonyms.
Right.
By the dictionary. But they're not. They're not synonyms in colloquial use, because you will never say anything positive using the word awful. And you will never say anything negative using the word awesome.
Well, sometimes you'll say, like, that's awesomely bad, or you'll say that's awfully nice of you.
Okay, but that's, like, that's...
Hey, see, man,
that's
I'm here splitting... to poke holes in your argument.
No. But that's a good... But that it just... That's not... That doesn't poop all over. What'd you say? Is that
poke
what you
holes in your argument.
Oh, poke holes.
Poop? Okay.
Damn it,
let's talk about the etymology of poop. No, let's not.
I'm just... Yeah, but, like, that just adds another layer of nuance. And I think that with a lot of these cases and a lot of these idioms, that it's not even intention that matters. It's the entire context in which you are interpreting the word. All of it. And I would say that if you are on the receiving end of a word, usually, not always, usually, it is more on you as the interpreter of that word than it is the person who presented it to you in writing. In speech, it's 50-50, because you can hear and interact and, you know, you can feel the annotation. But when it's in writing, unless someone's being deliberate by using a certain word a certain way, which often they are, if they're a good writer, their intention should be fairly clear. Obviously, there's ambiguity everywhere, but...
Well, it depends on what you're trying to convey. I mean, if I'm insulting you in writing, then it's pretty much equal to me as insulting you in person or through spoken word.
For sure, but the way that I address you in spoken word is not how I would ever address you in written or even on this podcast. Like, you know, how many times do we call each other bitches, like, to each other? And yet I never use that word in any other context. And that's because you and I have an in-joke in how we address each other.
Sure.
But if you're hearing that, you might think, wow, those people are terrible. And you'd be wrong. But you wouldn't know that.
Well, I suppose that would then cause you to dig into bitch as a slur against a woman, and...
Well, but that's what I'm saying. Like, that's... Every word has that.
Every word?
Well, not determiners, not pronouns, not words like that, but, you know, most nouns have that.
I guess I just get tripped up because I'm... concerned, tripped up, there you go. I'm concerned about intent, my intent, as opposed to, you know, how someone interprets it. And I have to realize, and I'm not saying this all the time, but sometimes I have to realize that people can interpret things in ways that are different than my intent. But that being said, I'm starting to recognize that sometimes the interpretation of a word can be deeply personal, which is why I asked the question in the beginning about things like stupid and dumb versus crazy and insane. Because as much as I agree it makes sense to try to keep everything on a level playing field for the sake of this episode, I still associate crazy and insane with mental health more so than I do dumb or stupid. And so I find myself shying away now from using words like crazy or insane just because of my own experiences with mental health and people that I care about and their experiences with mental health. And I can see where that would feel like a slur.
You can what?
I can.
You can what? You can what?
And I'm sorry, are you being discriminatory?
And are you being discriminatory towards blind people right now? No, okay. That's actually a very... I love that you did that. So, you're absolutely right. The words crazy and insane can absolutely have very ableist connotations. But me saying, Emily, you're driving me crazy, or Emily, you're crazy, is a lot different from me getting off a roller coaster, running up to you, grabbing you by the shoulders, and going, Emily, that was so insane! You have to try this! The words are the same, but the intent, the intonation, the context of where we are, the context of what we're doing, every single one of those things changes the meaning of words. And for someone to say that, like, and by the way, this is not exclusive. This is everything I'm saying applies to words that are not explicitly slur words, because those are, they have one purpose and they are slurs. And I suppose we can get into a discussion on when a slur becomes a slur in another day. But all of those things plays a huge part in the meaning of the word in the context. So I would never, ever look at you and call you crazy to your face, because that would be an insult. But if I get off a roller coaster and scream in your face about how crazy cool it was, that's different. It is.
It's different, yes, but I still shy away from those words anyway, because...
Well, of course, yeah.
And, you know, this is really hard for me because it's not even like I thought about the fact that these words could be insults or slurs up until maybe a few years ago, because they're just part of the lexicon. But, you know, then I start thinking... Okay, so what about bonkers? What about nuts?
Yeah, what about where bananas? Do you draw the line?
Because those are all synonyms for crazy and insane. I'm using them to mean that. So am I indirectly using a slur? Very serious question. I truly don't know where the line is.
I mean, I don't know the answer to that. First of all, you'd have to make an argument that those two words are slurs, and for the purpose of this podcast, I'm saying that they are, to make it easy. But if saying bananas to get away with saying crazy is the same thing, then that means that every newscaster who's ever said the phrase the N-word on the air is really saying the other word, and I don't think anyone would say that. I really don't. I don't think anyone would say that saying that phrase is the exact same thing as saying the word.
Yeah, but I guess those are two different things, because the N word or the R word, those are shortened references to the actual word to avoid saying it, whereas it's not a synonym, because there is no appropriate synonym for either of those words.
Well, no. I agree with you, but I think the reason is a little different. I think the reason that that's more acceptable than using bananas as crazy is because those two words, the R and N word, those are slurs. Those are definitely slurs. And you'll be hard pressed to find people who in fact, the people who disagree with you about those two words being slurs are probably people who use those words very freely. So,
wait, I'm not following you.
Like racists.
No. I understand racism. I'm saying I don't follow what you mean about, are you saying one is worse than the other?
No, I'm saying one is definitely a slur, but I think that if you ask people if the words crazy or insane are definitely slurs, that you will get mostly no's from people until you provide a context by which you're actively using that word to insult somebody. Because you see how I'm saying the word crazy right now? I can't do that with the R or N-word on this show without getting heat from everybody.
Well, I guess the other thing, too, is the... If you say the C word, it's not made it to that point yet. The C word means something very different to a lot of people than creepy.
Well, the C... Well, yeah. And that's also a variational thing. Like, people in Australia just say the word... just to say it.
They do?
Yeah. What's up,
you... Do we need like, to... We should probably...
I'm going to bleep it.
Bleep that. I mean, but, okay.
The worst word you could say. But
here's the other thing. So I was listening to a presentation by somebody who included a quote. I believe it was from Steve Jobs. It's like, here's to the crazy ones. Mm-hmm. And this presenter literally bleeped herself on the C word. Being crazy, she bleeped herself on that. And then later in her presentation, she got really excited talking about something. And she's like, it's crazy, I'm telling you. And I'm like, did you just hear yourself?
I think that that's, I agree with you. Like, it's a little hypocritical. But I think that that's her separating intent and usage into two different domains in her mind.
No, but I don't think that's reasonable. I think it needs to be an all or nothing approach in some ways, because on the one hand, she's preaching that, you know, here's to the crazy ones, when in fact, the quote from Steve Jobs is crazy in a good way, if there is such a thing, like, here's to the ones who don't align with this stereotypical neurology that is boring and blah, 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 blah. And here's to the ones who think outside the box and all that stuff. And so I don't think that's meant to be an insult. And yet she was on her high horse about it being an insult until it slipped out of her mouth.
Right. Which proves the point that it's probably not a slur, no matter how much you want it to be one right now. It might get to that point eventually. But a slur is generally never okay to say. Unless you're specifically talking about the word as a word. That's the only context by which anyone might give you a pass for using a slur. But if she does actively and regularly, because this was a one-time occurrence, right?
That I know of.
Right, okay. But if, let's say you did a case study on her, right? And if she actively did that, where she censored crazy in the sense of using it in the in whatever negative way she thinks, but not using it in whatever positive way she thinks, that's proof that in her mind, the context is what drives whether or not it's considered negative.
Right.
Which I disagree with, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's plenty of words and like that. You know?
I guess this is also probably an opportune moment to bring up reclamation of words as well, because...
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Even earlier, I was editing something for work, and at one point, mental health was referred to as madness. And that is absolutely something that has been reclaimed by many people with mental health disabilities. Much in the same way that people have reclaimed words like cripple. And so I know that one thing that's been beat to death pretty much is the idea that, you know, this reclamation is only okay within the community that it belongs to. And I would say I agree with that for sure. But I guess, how does a reclamation come to be? And how does a reclamation become normalized when it is still community in speak? I'm not saying that I want people to go around calling me a cripple. I guess I'm just saying, how can we get people to understand that we're calling ourselves cripples because it's just a thing that we do, but if you do it, it's insulting.
Well, you know, I'm offended because you said beat to death, and that's offensive to people who are victims of bludgeonings. You laugh, but it's the same argument.
I mean, we didn't even get into what I said about, like, tripped up or IC.
Yeah. I know, but, like, that's the thing. All right, so real quick, I'll get to your point, because it's a great one, and I'm trying to find information about that while I'm speaking. There is a line, and I don't think that we really know when it is, but we all know when we've passed it.
Okay, not all it's of us. True. I am relatively sure people
don't know. You and I. You and I. I don't care about anyone else. I'm talking about me and you. Everyone knows there's a line somewhere, but no one knows when they've passed it. Except for us. We know everything. Now, as far as when does reclamation become reclamation, when does it cross over from insult within a member of a community or within an in-group of people, I don't know. And I just tried to look that up using the word queer. And I'm not having much luck, but I promise by the time this episode comes out, I will have found something which will tell me the answer, at least partially, to your
question.
That
is a perfect example.
Yes. Yes.
And probably a more mainstream one than cripple by a long shot right now. But I think the other thing is that not only has queer undergone a reclamation within the community, but now queer is an acceptable term for an identity. So
is cripple.
Now you can actually call someone a queer person, and that's an identity and not an insult, even if you're calling them that, depending on the context. Of course, it's all contextual, but right now the same is not true of something like cripple at all.
You said a queer person. That's the difference. You can't call someone a queer. That's rude. That's very rude.
But calling someone a cripple and a crippled person, either one is not particularly nice.
I know. I'm just saying, I think the reason you can definitely say one, you can't say the other. I think that difference depends on the group. And that's why none of this is universal. But I use queer as an example because, like you said, it's pretty much the best one we
and
have.
I don't want anyone to think that we're conflating minorities here. But I just think that this is a minority issue.
For sure. We're not conflating minorities. It's literally just the labels, guys.
But in regard to the thing that you said earlier before we were just talking about reclamation for a little bit, idioms is probably the other thing that's important to talk about because it happens so much. I do it so much. I have to stop myself from saying falling on deaf ears or turning a blind eye.
Here is the thing.
Kyle is having a conniption over here.
This is one of my pet peeves. It is totally awesome that you take the roots of the words you use and the phrases you use into account before you use them. If everyone did that, the world would be a better place. But there's a huge difference between knowing where what you say and where it comes from and just using that as an excuse not to say something.
What?
Falling on deaf ears is a completely natural idiom. Everyone knows what it means, even if you're deaf. Everyone knows what it means. And yes, there is probably a minority of deaf people out there that find that offensive. But, you know, you'll be hard-pressed to find a group who's not offended by any idiom. And I just... For idioms that are already so ingrained in our psyche, like this is different from individual vocabulary words like crazy or insane or cripple. For actual phrases that sound one way and mean something different, like raining cats and dogs, but somehow when we say, you know, that means raining really hard, and we all know that. You don't see PETA marching in the streets. It's because everyone knows that. Just like everyone knows falling on deaf ears means I'm talking to some idiot, see what I did there, who's not listening. See what I did there and there too? And there?
I have a hard time with that one because as naturally as they come out of my mouth, I can understand. Because it's the same thing like using something as a crutch.
I do that all the time. I used to use crutches. You have my blessing.
Oh, well, if Kyle says it's okay, it must be okay.
No, I'm just saying, if that's what you're angry at, you have a good life.
Yeah, well, that I agree with. That goes back to pick your battles. I mean, really pick your battles. Because I do not think that, even though I personally try to avoid using anything that might be ableist when it comes to sayings or idioms, I also feel that, you know, it's not that hard to avoid saying them, but if that's what you're getting mad at, like, pick your battles. I seriously mean that. Like, I would sooner get angry at the use of crazy or insane than I would at something like falling on deaf ears. I'm not quite sure why. It's just falling on deaf ears has no insulting context in it. It doesn't. Or it does, but to the person that you're... Never mind. I can't... This is hard!
You were right the first time. It doesn't. And that's why idioms are unique. Idioms are different than individual words. Idioms are unique because they're idioms. You say a phrase that means something.
No. I changed my mind. Because falling on deaf ears, that literally is insulting a deaf person because you're saying, like, you're talking to them and they're not hearing you and it's their fault.
Okay, but it's not really falling either. So, I mean, how deep do you want to go?
This is such a rabbit hole.
But it's not. It's a discussion. Are we going to stop saying rabbit hole now? You see what I mean?
No, I mean? I totally... It's just challenging.
I know. I'm sorry.
I think... I know. Well, I know. Then here...
I'm with you. I'm sorry.
But honestly, like, heard. This is how we have real conversations. Like, this is as real as it gets. Like, because neither of us can articulate a thought fully, and then we get all excited. But anyway... Somewhat related to this, I know that I have seen it get really awkward when someone is talking to someone who is blind and they'll be like, I'll see you later. And then they'll be like, oh my God, wait, I'm so sorry. And then 9 times out of 10, the blind person will be like, yeah, see you later. Because it's just a saying and nobody's actually trying to insult the person by being like, see you later. And then you make it worse when you're like, oh my God, but you can't see.
I have a friend, and I'm pretty sure I have several friends that do this, but I just know of one in particular who for sure does this. She uses a wheelchair, and every morning she walks to work. She doesn't, but that's what she says she does.
Yeah. Me too. I always say going for a walk. In fact, I've had people... You know what? I should have used that as an example. I didn't even think of that, but that happens to me all the time where people are like, let's go for a walk. And then they're like, oh, wait, what do you call it? And so I have personally settled on let's go for a stroll.
A promenade.
Yes. Like, I don't know how much more British you want to get here, but that's what I say, but technically strolling is a synonym for walking, but somehow it makes people more comfortable because I haven't said walking.
I would say that's sooner their problem than yours.
So, oh, it's not my problem at all, but it's just, it seems a silly thing to me. And then I guess the other thing too is if you're talking with someone who's deaf or hard of hearing and you say, do you hear what I'm saying? When you really mean, do you know what I'm saying? Or you say...
Or...
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, but you just... I don't mean to interrupt you, but you triggered something in my head. Or the contradicting other ableist phrase, do you see what I'm saying? Because you're probably signing to them, so they do need to see what you're saying. You see what I'm saying? No, go on, sorry. I really didn't mean to interrupt you with that, like... That hit me right in the frontal lobe, man.
I think that the problem is that you can just go on and on and on with this. And I'm aware that we're covering different issues in that there really is a difference between something that is a slur and is an insult versus something that's just an idiom. And I don't want anyone to think that this episode is a tacit endorsement of, like, it's okay to say whatever you want to people, you know? Because don't do that.
Yeah, don't be a...
Don't be a douche. Like, did we just offend both genders? Did I just offend...
Did you just say both? Oh, no!
Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
But that's another one. That's a colloquialism.
No, that's not a colloquialism. Even if it is that a spectrum. Was ignorant. Of
even
me.
If yes, it
that
is. Was ignorant. Yes, it is. Even it's on a spectrum. It's on a spectrum. But because the majority of population is one or of the usual set of two, even though there's an infinite spectrum between them, and even though there's people who exist outside of it, that is a colloquialism, and you shouldn't beat yourself up, unless someone is going to beat me up for saying you shouldn't beat yourself up. I don't know.
I feel worse about that than the disability things that we've been talking about. Like, because there's a very big difference between completely ignoring gender expression and identity versus using a term for something. I think, I don't know, I'm just digging myself a hole right now.
No, you're not. You recognized your ignorance and you corrected it. No one should beat you up. Everyone makes mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. Even you, listener, and even us.
I think there's a song, is it from Hannah Montana or something? It's like, everybody makes mistakes. Everybody has bad taste.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'll be sure to find it and splice it in. Yeah, so I guess I know we went down a huge rabbit hole, but like Henley said, this doesn't...
Stop, that's offensive to rabbits. Stop it.
Rabbits are delicious.
Ew.
That's offensive to rabbits. Ew.
I have a question.
Yes?
Since we're talking about language, I actually, like, texted this to someone the other day as a shower thought. You know those things that you, like, just think about in the shower? Go to Reddit shower thoughts, everyone. But here's my shower thought. Why do you call chicken still chicken when you eat it, but you call cow beef when you eat it, and you call pig pork when you eat it? You look like you have an answer.
I know the answer to that one.
Of course you do.
I can't believe you like picked the one linguistic question that I know the answer to.
Kyle is absolutely just like bouncing up and down right now.
Okay, this is it. The reason is because way back in 1066 during the Norman conquest. Oh yeah, it's time. It's time, man. Here it comes. When English and French first met back in those days, it was decided that the elite would use French words for things, while the measly peasants would use English and Germanic words for things, which is why we have synonyms such as understand and comprehend. And one of the ways to show that you had wealth back in 1066, when even the poorest person in America lives better than the richest king, was in the food you ate. So if you referred to food by their French name, it showed a higher social status. And that is why we do that.
But isn't it like buff and not beef?
Yes. Well, because we still speak English,
what is it?
Emily.
Puff. And now, I'm just kidding.
I don't know.
What, what is the French word for pork?
Someone tell us. That's totally why we do that. Thank you so much for indulging me in that story.
I asked the question. I was being serious.
Thank you for being serious.
It had to do with language. It was completely irrelevant. Nobody judge me.
I have a question. Why do throw up and throw down mean not only completely different things, but why are they only separate by one
verb? Or also, like, I'm totally up for that, and I'm totally down for that.
Means
exactly
the same thing. Slow up and slow down. Same thing.
Language, am I right?
Yeah. I think that... Oh, you know what we didn't cover? I was about to do final takeaways, but just as
oh my god, what
aside,
did we not cover?
Historical license.
Go on.
One small step for a man and one giant leap for mankind.
That is so ableist. So ableist. No, it's not.
And sexist.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, right? It's not though. We all know it's not. Because historical license. I think, and that's the only thing I'll say about it, is that, you know, you shouldn't erase language that has already been written or spoken, because that's a great way to forget where you came from and to deny progress as a society. So, like, just as a current events example of this in the extreme, some school board in, I think, Mississippi recently banned To Kill a Mockingbird because it makes them, feel uncomfortable, or the schools that banned, I think, Tom Sawyer or Huck Finn
that
for
was,
having the N-word in it. Yeah, and they replaced it with slave, which totally completely dilutes the whole idea of the book, which is ridiculous. And I think when you do that, and this is really tangentially related, but that is a problem. I am completely against that, because what you're doing is you are erasing history way more than taking down a Confederate statue can ever do. Which, by the way, you would think, tangentially also, that the people that were really angry at taking down those Confederate statues, you would think they'd be up in arms about erasing history with To Kill a Mockingbird being taken off the shelves. But funnily enough, they're silent. Weird, right? It's almost like they're complete hypocrites.
So, far be it from me.
Way off.
Yeah, far be it from me to go full on Jew here. And I'm very Jewish, except not at all. I'm just culturally Jewish. No, what are you?
Your whole
my existence is Jewish. I am Jewish. Anyway, I'm not insulting Jewish people. They are my people. I am one of the tribe. The point that I was trying to bring up here is that every year on Passover, they basically, part of the meal and the service, if you want to call it that, is called the Seder, which is like our ritual dinner. Part of it is that we say, you know, why are we telling this story year after year? And it's because, you know, if you forget, it will repeat itself. And that's basically the same thing that is repeated throughout the teaching of Jewish history and culture, but, you know, especially on Passover. And then at the end of the Seder, it's like next year in Jerusalem. And I realize I'm about to anger people with a mention of Israel, so please do not think that I'm bringing up Zionism here. I'm merely mentioning that, you know, there is there's a continuity in Judaism where they're always trying to retell the history of our people. And, you know, may we all be together next year to retell the same story. And so I think that is related to your tangent in that we cannot erase certain facets of history. I think that we can recognize that language evolves, but to change the way that language is presented, if we do that, then we'll forget ourselves, we'll forget who we are, we'll forget our identities, and we will forget some of the horrible things that happened and some of the reasons why we don't use certain words anymore. So I think that we really need to be conscious of not forgetting language, even as it changes and even as we determine that certain things are appropriate or not appropriate. We have to remember the words that held so much power at different points in time.
Y'all ever read Harry Potter?
No. Now I'm about to get eggs thrown at me for that.
I'm sure that somebody has. Win. And, you know, Harry was one of the first people who was not afraid to say Voldemort. And his reasoning was, if you say it, you show him that it's reason not to be afraid. Turns out, though, spoiler alert for, like, this 15-year-old book, that he had a spell on everyone who said it so that every time somebody said it, like, he knew where they were. So it was actually kind of really terrible. But it was the thought that counted. And by the way, to your point about Israel, I think you inadvertently caused the Streisand effect by saying that you should or shouldn't do something or should invoke something that you wouldn't have had you not said that. That's what the Streisand effect is.
Why is that related to Barbara Streisand?
It's something to do with something she said in an interview once. Don't worry, I'll put it in the show notes.
You know something? I think that the fact that I even brought it up just points to that I have spent way too much time on social media where everybody gets angry at everybody for everything. And I guess I was just trying to reference an aspect of my religion and my culture that I felt was relevant to remembering history and words and language, but then I am so trained. This is related to those articles on like why social justice has become this toxic culture. But the fact that you have to sit there and catch yourself on everything. So I guess that's why I immediately went to clarify that I'm not trying to bring up any allegiance one way or the other, because I'm just so worried that I'm going to offend somebody, and I'm really trying not to. But it's hard, like, the way, and I hate to bring up my own mistake again, but, you know, like, when you say both genders, like, that's an egregious thing to say, but not meant to be egregious. But it's just really hard to shake things like that from your vocabulary when you hear people say it all the time. And it's a constant effort and a conscious learning process.
Saying something ignorant and correcting yourself, like you did, is a lot different than defending yourself preemptively before saying right. something.
But they fall along the same lines of fear going to upset someone and create an irreparable divide.
There's no such thing. I don't believe that. There's no such thing as an irreparable divide. If anything, if there is, it's the person hearing you that makes it. You know, if you want to say what you want to say, mean what you mean, clarify later, try to be as clear as possible the first time. And if someone gets angry about you for what you had to say, you know, it could be that you're a jerk. You might be. But I'd never look at you and call you a jerk, Emily. And not just because I know you. I really wouldn't. I really wouldn't. You know, you carry yourself well. You do the right thing. And, you know, you shouldn't have to revise your belief. And you didn't. But, you know, you don't gotta hide in a virtual turtle shell just because of an angry tweet,
don't
my man.
Don't worry, like, everybody. A white man told me it was okay, so it must be.
I'm olive. I am olive. I'm not white enough to be white, and I'm not person of color enough to be them, so I just hang out with Greek people all day.
Kyle's Armenian, you guys.
Yeah. The weirdest... I get mistaken for Jewish a lot, which is cool.
You can pull, like, that off. No, but Kyle is full-blooded Armenian.
Have you ever gotten mistaken for something? This is completely tangential. We're leaving soon, guys, but I just have to know on the air. Have you ever gotten mistaken for an ethnicity that you're not?
I am the most Jewish. Everybody always thinks I am Jewish. Occasionally, very occasionally, someone will say something ridiculous, like Italian, because of the thick hair or whatever. I don't even know.
I get the weirdest stuff. It's never Armenian. It's never Armenian, but I've gotten Arabic. I've gotten Greek. I've gotten Jewish, as if you're an entire race of people. But it's so bizarre, because, like, whenever I meet somebody, they do this thing where if they're white, they go, I'm making a face. No one can see it but you. It's like, you're almost there. Not quite, though. You know, and if I meet someone who's not white, they go, I don't know what you are.
You're white to people who are...
No, I know.
People of color.
It's bizarre. I call myself white. But, like, if I'm being honest with myself, I don't really fit it anywhere. And it's really funny, because it's like, I don't really care, but everyone around me cares more than I do. And it's just a funny
fact. No, I don't think there's any mistaking that I'm Jewish. Although, when people hear my last name, they get a little confused. I don't have a Jewish last name. Although, my college roommate, and if you're listening to the end of this, I am either happy for you or feel sorry for you, because at this point, you're just listening to all our random rants. But my roommate created a Jewish alter ego for me, since my name is not Jewish at all. So it was Phyllis Ladabrowski Bergowitzenstein.
And on that incredibly lovely note, I bid thee farewell, because I am done. Emily, if you have any final things you want to say, by all means, you have the floor.
No, we have no final takeaways?
Oh, God. How could we? I mean, I just said, oh, God. I mean, what if you're not religious? Can you say that? I mean, when we say Jesus Christ like that, like, if you're not religious...
Oh, my God, I do that all the
time. What are you really saying?
I do that all the time, and then I feel bad.
Everyone does that. The only people who don't do that are Christians. Or people who are variants of Christians. And even some of them
I've
do that.
I've heard many Christians say that.
Of course. Because even some of them do it. But, you know, like, it's all related. It's all related. Yes, the show is about disability and language, but my goodness, you could do that for everything. Forever.
Maybe that's what makes this topic both complicated and rewarding to talk about, is the fact that there is no answer here, but that's okay. there are some things that are just right and wrong, and I hope that everyone knows that we recognize right and wrong, but also, like, some things really are gray areas.
This entire podcast is something that we strive to be in that gray area, not in terms of whether or not something is okay, but it's blending the black and the white of certain issues to unpack them, as Emily would say, or to deconstruct them and to see why they are the way they are. So, you know, if you were offended by anything that we've said and we, you know, and we didn't end up at a point, we're sorry.
Sincerely.
But, you know.
But please know that it was not for the sake of insulting or offending. It was for the sake of talking about things in the gray area that people don't really want to approach.
Mm-hmm. And some of the things that are so gray that they're normal, like most of the examples that we gave, you know, it's just so ingrained in who we are and what we say that we don't even think about them at all. It's a word that means something. I know that's our favorite thing to say, like, what is normal anyway, but it's like a real word that has
an
actual meaning.
And so it is. On that note, anyway. Now that my brain has just been, you know, knocked around by Muhammad Ali over here. You know, no, not you.
You oh, know,
like,
good.
You just, like, punched around a little bit.
My brain yeah, okay, because like, I'm
punched
not.
Around. I'm not calling okay. you Muhammad Ali, although that would not be an insult. He's a great man.
Yeah.
I think. Is he?
He was. Well, depends on who you ask. If you ask the government, he wasn't. But that's another story
oh,
for another day.
Oh, my Lord.
And on that note, I am Kyle.
I'm Emily. I talk for myself.
By all means.
I'm Emily.
Why were you laughing
at? I don't know. Myself. I'm funny.
Oh, okay.
Thanks for listening.
Good night, everybody.